This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 4th, 2018. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this special edition, Out with the Old, In with the New at Vancouver City Hall, the Gregor Robertson and Vision Vancouver era at 12th and Cambie is over. Hear Gregor Robertson in his own words, as originally aired on the January 14th edition of the Breaker.News podcast. In September, the month before the civic election, I asked pollster Mario Canseco what would be Gregor Robertson's legacy. What Canseco said then remains fresh today. And I sit down with Kennedy Stewart, who narrowly won the October 20th civic election, to become the 40th mayor of Vancouver. Listen to the new mayor outline his plans for transparency and accountability at City Hall. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or is it time that we start talking about term limits for politicians in British Columbia? This week, mayors and councillors who were winners in the October 20th civic elections will be sworn in. There are new mayors in Vancouver and in Burnaby. Vancouver's Gregor Robertson decided to retire after winning three elections since 2008. Kennedy Stewart takes over. In Burnaby, Derek Corrigan, the mayor since 2002, was defeated by Mike Hurley. Stewart in Vancouver and Hurley in Burnaby have their work cut out for them. But it would have been a heck of a lot easier had Robertson been forced to hand the chains of office over to someone else in 2014. In Burnaby, Derek Corrigan could have and should have been gone in 2008 had there been a two-term limit. There should be legislated deadlines to get out of office because no politician should become too comfortable in office. Neither he nor she should be allowed to build an empire. The job for the successor is only made more difficult. So, good luck to Mayor Stewart and Mayor Hurley on making your cities more affordable for the average citizen. Good luck on the social challenges that you face, like homelessness and the opioid crisis. Good luck on running a transparent and efficient City Hall. After your predecessors stuck around too long and wore out their welcome, you will need every ounce of good luck. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Gregor Robertson, who co-founded the Happy Planet Juice Company and was elected an NDP MLA, became the mayor of Vancouver in the 2008 civic election and was sworn in December 8, 2008. He won two more elections to become the longest-serving mayor in the city's history. His legacy will be rated and debated for decades to come. This is an encore presentation of a feature from the January 14th edition of the Breaker.News podcast called Gregor Robertson in His Own Words. Now it's time for the big deal on the Breaker.News podcast. This week, Mayor Gregor Robertson in his own words. City Hall watchers were only surprised by Gregor Robertson's timing. Despite his half-hearted pledges to run for a fourth term as mayor of Vancouver, all signs pointed to the Vision Vancouver leader preparing for an exit. He finally revealed his plan on January 10th. He will not run for re-election this October. Vision, like the BC Liberals, is widely considered to be too cozy with the real estate industry. The party's depth is gone after Councillor Jeff Meigs quit to become John Horgan's chief of staff, and several Vision insiders followed Meigs to cushy provincial paychecks. In this February 24, 2008 speech, while his American mentor and bagman Joel Solomon looked on, Robertson announced that he would try to make the leap from being an NDP MLA to mayor of Vancouver. And ending homelessness would be his job one.
Okay. Seriously, no. But I reached a turning point a few weeks ago. A homeless man named Daryl McCaskill burned to death, trying to keep warm, trying to keep from freezing to death on an icy cold night on the streets of Vancouver. Daryl died only three blocks away from the Lookout emergency shelter. And Daryl died only nine blocks away from City Hall. In a city with enormous resources, with compassionate citizens, we're letting it take place here. And it is time for profound change in dealing with homelessness.
Fighting inequality and crime were part of Robertson's closing statement at the Vision Vancouver leadership debate on June 5th, 2008. It helped him win the leadership.
I love Vancouver with all of my heart, and I'm very worried about our city right now. I think this is an emotion that many of us feel right now because we live in a time with such enormous extremes. We live in a beautiful place with so much affluence that so many people envy for what it looks like on the outside, but we also live with incredible suffering and deplorable conditions for many of our neighbors. Almost a quarter of our city living in poverty, almost 30% of our children living in poverty, thousands of people living on our streets, and a culture of fear driven by drug and gang crime that is intolerable. And we need to deal with these challenges. They're not beyond us. We collectively have the ability and the talent, and I believe the intention to address these challenges.
Robertson also emphasized his Housing for All promise at the October 22, 2008 election debate.
My goal is to end street homelessness by 2015 in Vancouver. We will use city bylaws to keep affordable rental buildings safe and open. The NPA has, in effect, protected slumlords by failing to enforce even the most minimum standards of cleanliness and safety. I will build strong relationships with all levels of government and ensure they live up to the responsibilities for investment. Together, we're going to bring this city the change that it needs. Thank you very much.
After being the Olympic mayor, the honeymoon wore off for Robertson. Members of his own party were critical of spot rezonings that disrupted neighborhoods from the West End to Marpole. After a city council meeting on July 8, 2010, Robertson's microphone was on when he called some of them fucking NPA hacks.
Who are all these fucking, who are these hacks, man? Are they NPA hacks?
Yeah. Oh, no, they're not hacks.
What's that?
Oh, Candace.
Who was?
Yeah.
They're all,
the queens and the old devils. It's 100% owners.
Everyone.
And that's what
they're
upset about.
They
don't like it. They don't want renters in the mix.
Yeah. No, we have to. You can't railroad us.
You're trying to subvert process here.
We want consultation.
Hey, what?
God, we're just trying to have a little advisory committee for fun.
Robertson's marriage fell apart before the 2014 election. Afterward, the city found out that he was dating Chinese singer Wanting Chu. Her mother was later charged with municipal corruption in China. Robertson traveled with Chu to a concert in New York City and used the occasion to practice Mandarin. A flood of post-Olympic Chinese investment in Vancouver real estate dashed home ownership dreams for a generation of Vancouverites, making housing and affordability the number one issue. Robertson came into the mayoralty promising housing for all. Instead, he will leave office having only achieved luxury housing in Vancouver for some of the world's richest people. So, what is the legacy of Gregor Robertson and Vision Vancouver after almost a decade in power at City Hall? During a September 14th interview about the Civic Election campaign, I asked research co-pollster Mario Canseco to weigh in. Here is an outtake from that interview with Canseco, and it remains fresh today. The Gregor Robertson era at City Hall is ending. He is, of course, not in the civic election, but his legacy will be rated and debated in the civic election. What is his legacy from your standpoint?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. I think there are certain things where he appealed to the base
and it was essentially a success. I think people who wanted bike lanes are happy with his performance. I think people are definitely satisfied with certain decisions that were taken on the environmental front, the way he dealt with the pipeline. The thing that I think turned people off is the cozy relationship with developers. I've been asking about professions for the past few years, and developers have been dropping, particularly here in BC and considerably more in Vancouver, because there's this perception of somebody running City Hall who we didn't elect. So that's definitely problematic. And the other issue that I think, you know, plays a role in the way we're going to feel about things is the lack of a succession plan. There's other cities where successfully people have said, I don't want to run anymore, but we're going to prepare a stage that is going to allow the brand that we built around me to continue thriving. And there was none of that here. There was no plan. There was no succession. There were no discussions about things. 6 hours ago, we thought Andrea Reimer was going to run for mayor. That tells you everything. It's very complex when you don't have a situation where you prepared whoever was coming after you. And you know, to me, the closest that I think looks to this would be the Mulroney, Kim Campbell era in 1993. Like, there's no planning, there's no idea, there's no cohesion in the way in which you're going to do things. And that is what took Mulroney from a majority government to Kim Campbell holding on to two seats, neither of which she held. And a similar situation could happen with Vision. There's no mayoral candidate, there's no presence in the debates. It's going to be very difficult for those who are trying to seek office for Parks Board, for Council, or for School Board to try to get ahead without somebody who's going to be going to those meetings.
In a matter of months, Kennedy Stewart went from being the NDP Member of Parliament for Burnaby South to becoming the new Mayor of Vancouver. The Nova Scotia native is a political science professor and co-author of Local Government in Canada. Stewart will be 52 years old on November 8th. He spent 2 terms in the House of Commons and beat Ken Sim of the NPA by less than 1,000 votes in the October 20th election. Officially an independent, Stewart will chair city council meetings with 5 NPA councillors, 3 Greens, and 1 each from COPE and One City. Can he find consensus? Stewart has pledged to bring various transparency and accountability measures that are long overdue to Vancouver City Hall. I sat down for an interview with Mayor Stewart near his False Creek North home on November 1st.
When you had your acceptance speech on October 20th, you went summarized some of your planks in your platform, including the lobbyist registry, including the conflict of interest improvements to checks and balances at City Hall. Where are those right now, and when will you be introducing those?
Great. Well, that's a great question. I mean, it was the first announcement I made in my campaign when I kicked it off, is bringing more transparency and accountability to City Hall, including toughing up conflict of interest rules and bringing a lobbyist registry. I mean, those are things that have been worked on by past councils, so there is, especially the lobbyist registry. I'm actually working on the lobbyist registry right now. I know that David Eby, the Attorney General, has just introduced legislation to change the, to adjust the provincial rules, and this gives us an excellent opportunity to bring this to the civic level. Although I'm not sworn in until Monday, so I can't issue any official letters and engage in any kind of official engagements until after that point, that is very high on my agenda, and I would expect something to be going to the province next week.
You're going to submit something to the province instead of use Section 203 of the Vancouver Charter. Section 203 allows the city to regulate business, define the terms and conditions under which any group or business can operate. So you're going to be going to the province to get them to enable a law instead of...
So the past charter has had passed motions both locally and at the UBCM to asking for 3 specific things. But the 2 I'm most interested in are, one is for the province to alter the Vancouver Charter to allow us to bring in, say, an independent lobbyist commissioner. The second is to alter the provincial legislation to allow the provincial lobbyist office to oversee activities in Vancouver. I actually think the second one's better because the lobbyists that are going to be coming to the city of Vancouver are probably already going to register at the provincial level anyway, so why duplicate the work is my thought. The third one is for us to do what Surrey does, and that's a voluntary lobbyist registry. So in course of preference, it's for the province to change the legislation to help us oversee, to use the officer that's already in place to do that work. Second preference is to alter the charter, and we have to create a brand new office. And the last one would be the voluntary registry, which I know we can already do because Surrey's done it, but I would like it to be as robust as possible, and I really look forward to working with the province on that.
And having an independent lobbyist registrar would be key, either if you're going to use the provincial model or have someone answer the call.
Sorry, one more time?
to have an independent officer, either to use the resources of the existing lobbyist registry or to have someone embedded at City Hall who is independent. That would be key. Surrey doesn't have that. Surrey just
that's
has
right.
City
yes.
Clerk.
And so my real preference would be for the province to use their infrastructure because they're already well experienced in this. And I think that if we do it at the City of Vancouver, then other municipalities might follow suit, as was directed in the Union of BC municipalities a memorandum to the province. So that's where we are in that one. But it is my first promise. Launching my campaign, and I'm already keen. I have written about this pretty extensively as an academic as well, so that's what I want to try to do as soon as I can. I think it's an easy first thing I can deliver to the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, the populace might be a little bit cynical because new politicians, new government leaders of all levels often campaign on promises for new checks and balances, new transparency and accountability. And sometimes, more often than not, it falls by the wayside. We saw that with the Prime Minister, who campaigned on that. So we saw it with provincially. We saw it the predecessor with Rager Robertson, who promised that in his swearing-in speech. How can people put their trust in you that you're going to follow through on this to actually bare your soul, be open and accountable, and let people know even the blemishes under your administration?
Yeah, I mean, that has been really what I've done as an academic and as a member of parliament is to try to bring transparency and accountability. As an academic, I advised provincial governments, federal governments, municipal governments on how to make themselves more transparent. As an MP, I, for example, brought electronic petitioning to the House of Commons, which gives citizens more control over the agenda. So I would say one great advantage I have is being an independent. So, for example, it means that it's more work for me negotiating with the other councillors who are not part of my caucus, but it also means I don't really have to answer to anybody other and but to deliver on the platform that I was elected on. So I'm feeling that now is that all I've got is my word to the public, and I'm going to do everything I can to deliver what I promised. And if I can't deliver it, I'll explain to people what happened. I thought about the platform very, very carefully, talked with lots of leaders in the city and the province and across the country as I developed it, and I know we can do it, but I need help from council, and I'll need help from senior governments too.
Mm-hmm. Now, just the Vision Vancouver administration that is leaving had a lot of problems trying to fulfill that promise, and a lot of it backfired. There was a 2016 report by Elizabeth Denham, the information commissioner at the time, who did an audit and found all sorts of delays, missed timelines, missing documentation, incomplete responses, even discrimination against the media who wanted to get information out of the city hall. And that didn't improve very much since then. And we have since then, through some of my work, found that there was mass deleting going on. So like we saw with the BC Liberals, it was happening at City Hall. And also the mayor himself was using a Gmail account to get around the law. Will you enact any new checks and balances inside City Hall or new policies and procedures to go beyond what's already in the legislation?
Right. So the first thing is I've operated under one of the strictest regimes at the federal level for 7 years. So I'm very familiar and was always in contact with the various commissioners to advise me before I went ahead and did something. So, for example, as we're setting up our email accounts, and I've already checked with the city manager about this and the various compliance officers about how we get it right from the beginning. All my staff will be trained on that. And before we send anything, we'll make sure, any kind of correspondence, we'll make sure that we're complying to the letter of the law. And as we go through this, if we find that it's weaker than what's experienced at the federal and provincial level, then we'll make efforts to tighten this up. In terms of access to media, I have, you know, immediately after my late election on the 20th, I was, you know, immediately had a scrum of reporters that I answered every question that was asked of me. The next few days, I've, you know, participated in a Globe and Mail, you know, roundtable, have done a massive number of interviews at this point, and will try to be as accessible as I can. I do know, because I'm an independent, my schedule will be a little different than the last council, because a lot of my work will be negotiating with councillors in terms of our agenda. I can't just ram anything through. I have to negotiate. So, but being open and transparent with the media is my top priority, and I proved that as an MP. I literally did every interview that I was asked to do, so I will absolutely try to do my best on that and expect to be called out if I don't.
And you don't have a party backing you on city council. You don't have a majority behind you, so you can't exercise the party discipline like the previous Vision Vancouver council did. And there are some municipal lawyers who said that they were, when they were meeting in caucus, when they had a quorum, they should actually have been meeting in public or issuing an in-camera notice that they may have been meeting illegally. So that won't happen anymore under your administration.
Actually, that's come up. So how I've arranged negotiations in my office is I do it by caucus, and I do it in order because that's the Ottawa tradition that I know. So I had meetings this week where I met with the MPA caucus, then I met with the Green caucus, then I met with the COPE caucus and the One City caucus, although they're caucuses of one, but I still am treating them all as caucuses. I can meet this week with the MPA caucus because they're five and I'm one, so that makes six. Which I understand under the rules of the charter is actually quorum, and if we're discussing voting matters, then we can't do that. So we are making arrangements with the NPA now to make sure we're abiding by the charter, and I made that clear in my first discussion that this is really the only conversation we can have prior to being sworn in. After that, we'll have to abide and not have not talk about voting matters you know, behind closed doors. So I have, for example, asked each caucus to appoint a caucus chair that I can speak with individually and try to have those meetings on a weekly basis because, again, this is a very different situation, as you say, without a majority on council, which I'm quite looking forward to, and like I like to work this way anyway, is to try to make sure that not only I'm getting my agenda through, but the other councillors and caucuses have a chance to shape the agenda themselves. And the best way to do that is to continually discuss and to try to compromise where possible.
And finally, proactive disclosure. You know, there is the Freedom of Information Department at City Hall, which has had its problems over the years, but there have been recommendations by the provincial commissioners to the provincial government and other governments to go one step further and do proactive disclosure as much as possible. Will we see that under your administration? We see open data, of course, but open data doesn't tell us how decisions are made and why decisions are made. It just tells us the data and the facts. But what about open information and proactive disclosure under your administration?
So do you mean in terms of election, like proactively disclosing like donations before elections?
Or? Well, you did that definitely.
That's right.
That was one thing that differentiated you from other candidates. But day-to-day business at City Hall.
Well, I already know that Mayor Gregor Robertson had his calendar public, for example.
They published it on a quarterly basis, and it was very irregular, and in fact the way they did it was actually illegal, because as soon as a record is created by a public body, then it becomes accessible by the public, but they delayed it as much as they could.
Okay, well I'm just getting up to speed on the internal workings of the office, and that's something I'll look at for sure. I do want to be as transparent as possible, you know, as a member of parliament, for example, all my budgets were up online and they were reviewed by the internal administration. And so, I mean, I've never had anything to hide. I've been always transparent and push for extra transparency in the House of Commons, which already has a pretty good regime as it is. So that is one thing that's essential to bring trust to the city. I mean, let's face it, people don't like or trust politicians. They don't like or trust parties. And the best way we can counter that is to be as upfront as possible and to make information as available as early as possible. And so that's why I put transparency front and center in my election campaign, and already working to bring a lobbyist registry. So, for example, you would know every single lobbyist that comes to City Hall and meets with me. Where we've run into difficulty federally is when you're meeting with lobbyists outside at, say, fundraisers and those types of things. I am really looking forward to the commissioner's reports on that federally, because then that's something we could perhaps adopt at the municipal level too. We have a $1.5 billion annual operating budget. We have millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions in capital expenditures. We also have, billions of dollars of land that we oversee in terms of permitting. So all this stuff needs to be as transparent as possible, but respecting the legal obligations that we have in some cases too, with respects to negotiating contracts and other city business that is required by law to be in camera. But having less stuff in camera is always the objective.
Great. Well, thank you very much, okay. Kennedy Stewart, the 40th mayor of Vancouver. Best of luck, and you're welcome to come back anytime on the Breaker.News podcast.
Anytime. Happy to come back.
Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people who make a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the men and women in the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Merchant Marine who sacrificed their lives to defend Canada. The men and women for whom we wear a poppy to honor and for whom we pause every November 11th to solemnly remember. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send us an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 4th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on November 4th in 1980, Ronald Reagan was elected the 40th President of the United States, beating President Jimmy Carter? And that on November 4th in 2008, Barack Obama became the first African-American President of the United States? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.